This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, an interesting cure for controversial tax inversions by killing all corporate subsidies in return for ending the corporate income tax.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stock markets in Europe and early this morning on Wall Street have been having a downbeat day, in part because that's what tends to happen in September, but also because of new signs of trouble for Europe's economy. A survey of business activity in the 18 countries that use the euro currency suggests recovery there is stalling. Russell Padmore from our partner broadcaster, the BBC, is following this from London.
Shares did fall back at the main financial markets here in Europe, David, after we saw the results of this closely watched survey by Market Economics, the so-called Composite Purchasing Managers Output Index, effectively a gauge of the feelings in businesses about how their economies are developing in the various countries in the eurozone. The fall to its lowest in 9 months for this index is basically blamed on the crisis in Ukraine, causing a general sense of pessimism. Interestingly, the survey did show that Europe's largest economy, Germany, appears to have recovered some ground. Now, the survey is also suggesting that growth across the eurozone may slow further in the fourth quarter. We know the European Central Bank has been cutting interest rates and putting in place a series of measures intended to boost the ailing recovery that we're seeing here in Europe. But so far, the worry is that recovery is very, very fragile.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore, thank you. There's news today. The Obama administration is cracking down on what are called inversions, the controversial maneuver of acquiring foreign companies to save U.S. corporate tax. Targeted are the special loans that make these acquisitions possible. This is seen as a stopgap approach. President Obama and Republicans and Democrats in Congress agree that what's needed in the longer run is tax reform. Yet that's a process that doesn't seem to be moving forward anytime soon. That got federal budget watcher Stan Collender doing the math on an unconventional solution. Stan, who used to work for both the House and Senate budget committees and tweets at The Budget Guy, has written a column entitled How to Abolish the Federal Corporate Income Tax Without Increasing the Deficit. Stan, good morning.
David, good to talk to you as always.
You got an interesting way of framing this issue. First of all, we could get rid of the corporate tax, right? That would solve the inversions problem.
Well, sure, because if you don't have to do anything like buying a foreign company to reduce your taxes, then there's no reason to have an inversion. You wouldn't have to do things like buy Tim Hortons, for example, if you're Burger King, to try to reduce your tax liability because it would already be zero.
So let's just get rid of it. We get a lot of companies very happy with that. Level playing field, keep the company tax headquarters in the United States. But they'd be crying over at the Treasury because it would cost a lot of money to get rid of the corporate tax.
Corporate tax this year is expected to bring in about $350 billion or so. So eliminating it would put a big dent in the federal deficit and increase the debt unless you do something else. And that is unless you get rid of, on the spending side of the budget, all of the things the federal government does to support business big and small. There are literally hundreds of billions of dollars on the spending side. And my point is, if you're going to get rid of the tax side of the equation, let's look at the spending side as well.
So you've place this proposal on the table. Unfortunately, you're no longer chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. You're a blogger on these subjects. But have you gotten a reaction?
I've gotten reactions from a variety of people. I've had lobbyists basically scream at me. These are friends, but saying that I was threatening their livelihood. I've had some economist types who have argued with me about the amount of federal support on the spending side. But I've had a lot of people who have said, you know, it's not a bad idea. It would really change the politics of federal taxation and basically politics in general in Washington pretty substantially. Many of the lobbyists in Washington go to fundraisers because they've got provisions on the federal support for corporation side on taxes that they want to get rid of. So if you got rid of that, you'd probably have the biggest solution to election reform that you've ever had.
Food for thought. Stan Collender at Corvus MSL Group also is founder of a blog, Capital Gains and Games, in which he tracks the budget, among other things. Stan, thank you.
It's a pleasure as always.
By the way, I was just joking about Stan ever heading Ways and Means. Among the many announcements coming out of Climate Week in New York here comes this news of strange bedfellows, a partnership between some leading environmental nonprofits, including the Environmental Defense Fund, and five oil companies. The companies agree to work on cutting emissions of methane, that's a potent greenhouse gas, in the process of exploration and drilling. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more.
These oil companies aren't household names in the United States, but they're big, like the national oil companies of Mexico and Norway. The absence of super majors like BP and Exxon isn't what concerns Mark Zoback. He's a Stanford professor who served on an Energy Department panel on shale gas safety.
You have to understand, it's not the companies you know. There's hundreds and hundreds.
The U.S. Energy Information Agency estimates there are as many as 15,000 oil and gas drillers, many of them relatively small-time. An agency report showed almost 500,000 active natural gas wells in 2012.
There's so many wells being drilled, and there's so many companies that are in the process. It only takes a few bad actors, you know, to cause problems.
Nathaniel Cohan is a vice president at the Environmental Defense Fund. He says, yes, there are limits to what this particular initiative can achieve.
But we think that by starting with this group and expanding it over time, we can start to make progress and demonstrate what's possible.
Including collaborations between oil companies and environmental groups. I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And there's news. The National Institutes of Health is giving out more than $10 million in grants to encourage medical researchers to make sure that gender is better taken into account when testing for disorders or new treatments. Women are not adequately represented in many clinical trials and may react differently. Even lab animals apparently skew male. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.